Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're delighted to have you on board as we face the issues. We're going to be talking about today, anarchists in our streets. Anarchists in our streets. I don't know if you've been watching television, listening to the news, but across the nation and basically around the globe, we're finding what they're calling a public outcry, a demonstration and rioting in the streets because of George Floyd's death at the hands of a police officer in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, if you believe that that is these things are happening simply because of the death of one man, then you need to sit up and take notice as to what's really going on and understand the background and the historicity of Black Lives Matter and Antifa in order for us to understand the dynamics of what is taking place and the motivation. It's not something that's just organic, where because a black man is murdered, and he was, not because of that, but simply because there's an agenda. There's a long-range plan that the socialist, Marxist, anarchists have in mind around the globe, and especially for America, where there's the desire to tear down and destroy our constitutional republic. We're going to be talking about today on this broadcast, and we invite you to call in. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Why am I interested in that? Why should we be, as Christians, interested in that? Because the Scripture is very clear what the Lord Jesus says. A nation divided cannot stand. A home divided cannot stand. And also we understand in Matthew chapter 24, where the Lord Jesus says that in the last days, perilous times will come. That's in the 2 Timothy text. And then in Matthew 24, where the Lord Jesus says that nation shall rise against nation. The word nation is the word ethnos, ethnicity. And we're watching the ethnic wars on a global basis, and we're watching it in our streets in America. We're watching the rioting, the pillaging, the looting, the murder, the vandalization, the thievery that's taking place. In fact, one of the major articles that I have recently read said the riots in wake of Floyd's death could become the most costly civil disobedience for insurers in the history of America. And I believe that's the case, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be talking about that today. But as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It's not a matter of philosophical rhetoric. We don't base our decision and our discussion and dialogue on issues, on political ideological bent. We're not basing our discussion and decision on some denominational dogma with the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. We're simply looking at what the Scripture says in relationship to how we ought to live our lives. And ladies and gentlemen, as we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. From Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, which I call the truth book, it is the truth, it is the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus made a statement in John 14:6, where he said, "I am truth." Then further, how would you say declaration as to what truth is? Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth book that I commend to us as we think on issues each and every day. It was George Orwell many years ago that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And then it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth. listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And may I commend that to us today? Because, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. What we're seeing and what we're hearing on television is not the truth. What we're finding out of New York Times and other instruments of news fabrication in America is not truth. They're spinning it based on an ideological bent, a philosophical, political bent, a view that wants to tear down and destroy, especially in this last few days before the election, especially trying to tear down and destroy the potentiality of the reelection of President Donald J. Trump, which I believe, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck this in at this point. If President Donald J. Trump is not reelected, we can kiss it goodbye for a constitutional republic in America. I believe that by God's divine intervention, President Trump was elected, and I believe that we need to pray and seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our land, and ask him in particular to intervene and allow America another 4 years of President Trump in the White House, that he might protect as much as he can from a human standpoint, that he might protect us from the ultimate implosion and demise as a constitutional republic. So we need to seek the truth, as John Hus said, listen to the truth and learn the truth. It's not a matter of listening to what Black Lives Matter leadership says. It's not a matter of listening to what Antifa is saying and doing by their actions. It's not a matter of listening to what the politicians say is the motivation behind all of this uprising and the demonstration and destruction in America. It's seeking the truth. What is the truth behind the scenes of what we're seeing today in society? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. They have a full line of Honda generators. They have a knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about power generation backup equipment, as well as the professional and homeowner lawn care machines and business. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic U.S. flag flows 24/7. Find that gigantic flag, United States flag flowing about 165-foot pole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you are listening today with the idea of seeking the truth and seeing what we can do in relationship to it as Christians. Let me just, by way of a lead-up to my ultimate monologue and our dialogue and discussion today, let me just kind of paint the picture for us as to what we see taking place. In fact, our nation, ladies and gentlemen, has suffered the most devastating days in recent months. We were put on a national lockdown. Listen to me. We're put on a national lockdown by governmental insistence. It was enforced federally and statewide and locally to be put on a lockdown. We've been on that lockdown for months. We are put on that national lockdown due to so-called pandemic, the panic, the deceit, the outright lies coming out of the WHO and the Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx. And we were told that 2.2 million Americans would die unless we forced the closing of American businesses and certainly closing all of the churches. Well, 6 months later, after about 40 million people are out of work and business, millions of businesses have been closed. Thousands of small businesses have gone bankrupt. Churches are fined, pastors jailed. Masks are being legally required, and so-called social distancing is mandated. Our economic well-being has been totally destroyed in America. Now, I'm thankful to see the 2.5 million additional jobs added last month. It at least offers a little glimmer of hope for the future with the rebuilding of the American Economic Foundation. But, ladies and gentlemen, the attempts, this has all been done to attempt to destroy the United States of America. No, you can't argue and tell me that it was necessary to lock down America. You cannot argue and show me any facts, figures, details, or any empirical evidence that would validate that what took place in America with the lockdown or the shutdown and the destruction of our businesses, and for the what I call the absolute irreparable destruction to not just businesses, but to our churches, ladies and gentlemen. We're still reeling from that. And now we are saddened to see what's taking place with the national, yes, international outrage that is spawned supposedly because George Floyd died at the hands of a police officer. Now, listen very carefully, lest you have the tendency to spin a yarn that's not true, lest you have the tendency to go off and say that I said something that I did not say. We need to all mourn for the loss of any life. But ladies and gentlemen, some of those that are outraged because of the loss of George Floyd's life are the same perpetrators of the death of about 61 million, perhaps some have said as high as 63 million, human beings in the womb of the mothers since 1973 with Roe versus Wade. And yet these some of these same supporters of the outrage over the death of George Floyd gleefully accept and embrace and perpetuate the murder by way of abortion that's taking place by the millions each and every year around the globe, and especially in America. But ladies and gentlemen, when we think about what took place with George Floyd and the loss of his life, it simply became the spark. It simply became the instrument, simply became the point of light, if you will, that's utilized by the Antifa and Black Lives Matter anarchist, Marxist, that want to destroy America. There's a goal. There's a goal that they have in mind. There's an agenda that they are carrying out, and it's certainly not as a result of the loss of the life of one black man. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, again, may I repeat, the loss of any single life, individual life, is sad. But in Chicago alone, we have between 30 and 50 deaths every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday that's carried out by thugs in the street. And you don't hear Black Lives Matter getting upset or bothered by that. You have hundreds of thousands of black babies that are murdered every year in the womb of the mothers by Planned Parenthood. And you don't hear Black Lives Matter getting outraged and in the street showing violence and vandalism and the burning of the buildings and the looting and the stealing and the rioting because of black babies being murdered. And listen very carefully. The overwhelming majority of the abortions that are taking place with the abortuary murder clinics located, they're located in blighted communities, in less fortunate communities, and in the black communities across America. There's an agenda, there's a goal for what we see taking place today. It's the reason I'm calling today's broadcast Anarchist in Our Streets. Anarchist in Our Streets. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching that which is taking place. It's not logical. It's not philosophically amicable to think that somehow, some way, what is taking place will in some way mitigate and to repay the loss of one life, George Floyd. But that's what they claim that is taking place. It's illogical, it's unreasonable to believe that vandalism, arson, rioting, murder, and mayhem is the answer to one man's death. Now, if you believe that, I've used this illustration many times, if you believe that, I'll dismantle the Buckman Bridge and reassemble it in your backyard free of charge, if you believe that that's really what's taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, the terrorists are attacking the neighborhoods that they supposedly are concerned about. When you look at what's happening, where it's located, ladies and gentlemen, the terrorist attackers, are Black Lives Matter and Antifa, are not new. These are not new. Now, the Black Lives Matter is relatively new on the scene. Started with Trayvon Martin back when he was killed. And all of a sudden, they're outraged by that. And it was kind of a coming together of those that wanted to fight and say that it was because of a white police officer. But, ladies and gentlemen, that does not answer for that which has taken place in the past 2 weeks with the 24/7 rioting, robbery, looting, vandalism, destruction. As one Antifa member said when being interviewed on television, or at least it was an interview that was shown on television. It was first interviewed on one of the social media. And he said, "I just want to get free stuff." He said, "I was paid to do so." And they said, "What do you mean paid?" And he said, "Well, I went to the internet And there was advertised George Soros was going to pay the cost. And I think he said something like $20, $25 an hour. And he said he'd made a lot of money out of it, enough to go on a major vacation with his family and even with his in-laws. But ladies and gentlemen, the point that I'm making is you don't find it normal, natural, as a response to one person's death, to then rape and rob and pillage and vandalize and murder and steal across America and spread around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not the case. The destruction of private business and the loss of lives is simply the tactic that's being used today by those that are determined to overthrow America. Black Lives Matter and Antifa have a goal and agenda of destroying our Constitution and our capitalistic system that many do not recognize and understand. Let me just read you a blurb, and I've got multitudes of articles I just want to share today, a portion of each of them. I'm looking at probably no less than 100, 150 articles on the subject. Time's not going to allow us to even get close to covering them, so I want to hit the high spots and let you understand what we're dealing with in America today with the Black Lives Matter and Antifa. By the way, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question and comment on this subject. Are you concerned about it? What do you think needs to be done about it? How is it to be resolved? What is the resolution? Should Black Lives Matter as well as Antifa be viewed as terrorist organizations? President Trump is talking about doing that with the Antifa. Should it include both? Here's an article that says Black Lives Matter Foundation, Inc. statement in response to the first 2020 Democratic national debate. This article was dated back September 2019. This article says, further in the article, about Black Lives Matter Foundation, Inc., founded in 2013 by Patricia Cloutier, C-U-L-L-O-R-O, and Alicia Garis and Opal Tomia, in response to the acquittal of Trayvon Martin's murder. Black Lives Matter Foundation is a chapter-based, membership-led organization in the U.K., United States of America, and Canada, whose mission it is to build power to intervene, this article says, intervene the black, queer, and transgender communities, the disabled and the undocumented, those who, with records, women, and all black lives according to gender spectrum, by combating and countering acts of violence, creating space for black immigration and innovation, and centering on black joy, we are winning immediate improvement in our lives. Notice now, the focus, they say, the focus, according to Black Lives' own documentation and their foundation, is to intervene for black, queer, and transgender communities, the disabled, the undocumented, that is, those that are undocumented workers, those that are illegal aliens in America, those with records, that is, having police records, women and all black lives along the gender spectrum. And I could go on and on. It's about a five-page article, ladies and gentlemen. But the bottom line is that just sets the stage with just a little small tidbit. And we'll look at it further during the course of this broadcast of what Black Lives Matter and Antifa are really all about. Perhaps you're familiar with the fact that one police captain, retired police captain out of Minneapolis, was killed by these thugs. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just ponder for a moment Black Lives Matter. Yet the large majority of businesses burned, looted, vandalized, destroyed in Minneapolis, Wisconsin, Minnesota, were black businesses. Police Captain Dorn, 77 years old, retired police officer that was murdered by Black Lives Matters and Antifa, was a black man. Here's an article that says, David Dorn shooting, arrest, murder charges announced in killing of retired St. Louis police captain. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. This was a 77-year-old black man that had worked in police law enforcement for 37 years. He had retired. Some friends of his owned a pawn shop and loan office, and he was called wee hours of the morning that they thought he might need to go check and just make sure it was protected. He got there about 2:30 in the morning and was summarily killed. This article says arrests were made and charges were filed for the murder of retired St. Louis police captain David Dorn. according to the report. A man has been arrested and faces charges including murder and last week's shooting death of the retired St. Louis police captain David Dorn and amid riots and looting there, officials announced. Investigators recorded surveillance footage from the business where the shooting unfolded, as well as all surrounding businesses in the area. The suspect, Stephen Cannon, 24 years old, was charged with first-degree murder, first-degree robbery, first-degree burglary, felon in possession of a firearm, and three counts of armed criminal action. Dorn, a retired police captain, was shot and killed in the early morning of the hours of June 2nd while trying to protect his friend's pawn shop during a night of violent protests sparked by the death of George Floyd and his widow. Ladies and gentlemen, I can just stop there. The whole point that I want to make is that now, supposedly, Black Lives Matter and Antifa are concerned about black lives. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, I've said for years and years and years, white lives matter, black lives matter, blue lives matter, brown lives matter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All lives matter. Why is that so? Because we're created in the image of God. As a result of that, our lives are valuable. This is the reason it's so dastardly for the murder to be taking place by abortion on such a large scale in America and around the globe. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we have those supposedly upset, supposedly are in outrage as a result of George Floyd's death. That is simply an excuse to do exactly what they've done. As one of the looters said, I just wanted to get some free stuff. I was interested in just getting stuff that I don't have to pay for. But ladies and gentlemen, when you look at those that are involved in these movements and look at their lives and look at their agenda, look at the goals that they have for it, you understand. In fact, I am concerned when you look at Candace Owens. I don't know if you know the name or not. Candace Owens is a conservative Republican black lady. Super sweet lady, super fantastic position, a very clear-eyed view on many matters. When it comes to this, this is an article that says, Candace Owens, I do not support George Floyd and the media depiction of him as a martyr. She goes on to say, and I'm going to pluck out the paragraphs out of this long article. Conservative commentator Candace Owens lashed out at the emerging personality cult of George Floyd, whose death in Minneapolis last month first sparked protests and then riots. I do not support George Floyd as the media depiction of him as a martyr for black America, she said in her Facebook live video on Wednesday, referring to the writing of African-American writer and filmmaker Shelby Steele. Owen said, black Americans spend too much time defending criminals. We are unique in that we are the only people that fight and scream and demand support and justice for the people in our community that are up to no good, she said. You would be hard-pressed to find, you know, a Jewish person that's been had five stints in prison and commits a crime and dies while committing a crime, and that the Jewish people champion the demand for justice, she said, saying the same holds true for white people and Hispanics. Owen said she was not defending the Minneapolis police officer who knelt on Floyd's neck for more than 8 minutes. I want to be very clear, she said. What I'm saying is not in defense of Derek Chauvin. I hope Derek Chauvin gets his justice that he deserves to be implemented upon him, and the family of George Floyd deserves justice for the way he died, she said. However, she added, I'm not going to accept the narrative that this is the best that the black community has to offer, noting that in recent years it's become fashionable over the last 5 or 6 years for us to turn criminals into heroes overnight. It is something I find despicable. George Floyd was not an amazing person, she said, adding later that George Floyd is being lifted up as an amazing human being. Owens noted that Floyd's prison record and said, I'm not going to play the part of a broken black culture that always wants to martyr criminals, to pretend that they are upstanding human beings that just wanted to help society. He has a rap sheet, speaking of Candace Owens, talking about George Floyd, he has a rap sheet as long was long and very dangerous. He was an example of a violent criminal his entire life. Okay, up until the last few moments. The Daily Mail noted that Floyd had been sentenced to a 5-year term in prison in 2009 after being convicted on charges of aggravated assault that came from robbery in which a woman had been at gunpoint while he robbed her house. The Daily Mail also showed a court document that said Floyd had served 5 years, five stints in jail beginning in 1990. Owen said no one who has this kind of criminal record as Floyd had, should be held up as a model citizen. But black Americans are doing just that. We are embarrassing in that regard. This is why we have a cycle of toxic culture, because nobody wants to tell the truth about black America. It is all so easy to be effective. It is so easy to ask white people to bow down and apologize and do all of these things for us. It is not true, she said. What is she talking about? Let me just read you the rap sheet of George Floyd. Now listen very carefully. I'm not saying because he had a wretched background that he should have been murdered. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I want us to understand he's not a saint. He's not walking on water with a halo. This article says, 1998, spent 10 months in prison for armed robbery. 2002, 8 months in prison for cocaine. 2004, 10 months in prison for cocaine. 2005, 10 months in prison for cocaine. 2007, 5 years for armed robbery of a pregnant woman in her home. When he was killed, he was high on meth, getting ready to drive a car and possibly kill your kid. Too bad the pregnant woman didn't have a gun, this particular writer says about the events of George Floyd. Now, ladies and gentlemen, even with that wretched record, he had some good, background, as I understand it, in between those stints in prison, where he was passing out Bibles, he was preaching and teaching, if you will, the Word of God, trying to impact lives in the right direction. But evidently, when he moved to Minneapolis, he got off track, got off base, got with the wrong people, if you want to couch it that way, or simply went back into his old habits, and as a result of that, lost his life. Now, I'm not justifying what the police officer did, but I'm trying to get us to understand that there's a major, major problem with the rioting, the pillaging, and the destruction of property as a result of that. And it's by Black Lives Matters and Antifa, which are both anarchist, Marxist, socialist agenda-driven organizations. Here's an article that says, Reds exploiting blacks. The roots of Black Lives Matter. This is about a 20-page article. I'm simply going to look at two or three major blurbs for you to get an understanding of Black Lives Matter. As I explained to someone recently, the only difference between Antifa and Black Lives Matter is that Antifa is made up of millennial white men and women, and Black Lives Matter is made up primarily of millennial black lives, black people. Both of them have the same agenda, and that agenda is to tear down and destroy the fundamental warp and woof, that's the fabric of the United States of America. This article says, Reds exploiting blacks, the roots of Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter movement, BLM, cast itself as a spontaneous uprising born of inter-city frustration, but is in fact the latest and most dangerous face of a web of well-funded communist socialist organizations that have been agitating against America for decades. Its agitation has provoked police killings and other violence, lawlessness and unrest in minority communities throughout the U.S. If allowed to continue, that agitation could devolve into anarchy and civil war. The Black Lives Matter crowd appears to be spoiling for just such an outcome. Nevertheless, Black Lives Matter appears to be exercising considerable leverage over the Democratic Party, in part by pressuring and intimidating Democratic candidates such as Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, embracing their cause, et cetera, et cetera. And it goes on to talk about the roots of Black Lives Matter, their origin, promoting Marxist revolution and using the Marxist socialist tactics to bring about that revolution in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not dealing with something that just spontaneously burst forth as a result of George Floyd's death. We're watching a planned, orchestrated program to destroy America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 1 minute break at the top of the hour for our news. After the news, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're going to continue to talk about today anarchists in our streets in America.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.